Welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction industry, covering everything from big mega haunts to tiny home haunts. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be the podcast for you. And we are back for another week.
Yes.
It's kind of in the title, isn't it?
It is.
It's getting predictable.
And it's in episode 24, which is divisible by four.
That means we're doing
the news.
It's the news, not the snooze, not
I don't know. Some people might snooze through us. Do we put you to sleep? Let us know.
If so, we might need to market this as a sleep therapy podcast, and I'm fine with that.
Yes.
Sponsors don't care. I've learned.
Sponsors? What sponsors?
Yeah, exactly. Well, not that we have any. But yes, we are back for another week, and it is a news episode as we cover the late April, early May haunted and attraction industry news.
Yes.
Lots of great stuff to go over this week. Some great show notes. I'm excited about this podcast. Yep. I'm usually excited, but I'm especially excited this week.
Okay.
But one thing we have to do before we kick off properly is we have to say a big welcome to all of our new listeners.
Yes. We did an interview recently.
Yeah, we
with Haunt Topic.
Mm-hmm. Haunt Topic Radio specifically is the podcast.
Haunt Topic Radio. Thank
great,
you.
Great little podcast. Little, I say little. Yeah. We're the little podcast.
Yes,
here.
Yes. We don't have the numbers they do, but that's okay.
But they
graciously hosted us.
Spent some time chatting with them, and that interview went live right before we posted the last episode. Actually, so
correct.
A week before we're recording this. Right. We've been getting some great new listeners, some great feedback. We are super glad to have you guys. And please pardon our dust. We are currently improving our site. We are improving other things along with the podcast. So a little bit of patience. And like I said, expect a whole new site, a lot of new stuff coming very shortly.
Yes.
So yes, and a big, big, big thank you to Haunt Topic Radio for having us lowly upstarts. Because, and it's really weird because, you know, the interview was a while ago, honestly. We were like really lowly upstarts then.
Yeah.
It's like, we're lowly upstarts now. We were real low upstarts then. They were so kind, had us on, gracious host, had a great time. It's a great interview. If you want to actually check it out, we've got it on our Facebook page and our Twitter feed. Check it out there.
And it'll be in the links here.
It'll be in the links here. And speaking of which, check us out on Facebook and Twitter, too.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Yes, we are Haunt Weekly on Facebook and Haunt Weekly on Twitter. We would love to have you come follow us at both of those destinations. That is the way to learn first and foremost when a new podcast goes live. Of course, actually, the fastest way is to subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or now thanks to Google Play. Google getting their head out of their butts and adding podcast subscription to Google Play.
We totally just lost that.
Google giveth, Google taketh away. Exactly. It's the story of Google. Seriously, it was only 10 years after iTunes did it, guys. Good work.
Yeah, I know. Alright.
Yes, that's where you can follow us. But yeah, we usually kick these off with conference reminders.
Yes.
And so do you want to kick off the first one we have?
Sure. We have a Virginia Haunt Fest, June 3rd and 4th. Misty Mountain Camp Resort, Greenwood, Virginia. Aimed at Virginia haunters. You can find more information at virginiahauntfest.com.
Definitely looks like a fun camping style. I'm always really cool with these camping conferences. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like a getaway.
It's like a getaway slash, and you know they're going to scare the crap out of each other in the woods. I mean, come on.
People do that anyway. You don't have to be a haunter to scaring other campers.
Yeah, exactly. And
well, I don't know, because I've never not been a haunter.
That's true. That's a good point. I mean, I remember we accidentally scared our neighbors at HauntCon. That was not planned. We had a Coke explode in our freezer at 2 a.m.
I think it scared us more than them.
I'm very sure of that fact. I am very sure of that fact. I don't even remember if they noticed, but it was funny. Coming up after that, the Midwest Haunters Convention is June 10th through 12th at the Greater Columbus Convention Center in Columbus, Ohio. as part of this lovely, lovely conference, you can have a tour of the Scaratorium. Learn more at Midwest Haunters with an S convention.com.
Yep, and then next we have Chicago Frights, July 29th through 31st in Orland Park, Illinois. I didn't screw it up that time.
Thank God.
Giorgio's Quality Inn and
Suites.
We're
finally getting this one right.
Yes, Giorgio's Quality Inn and Suites and ChicagoFrights.com.
Yes, the sister conference to HauntCon.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it's sister-ish. It's also a Halloween.
It's related.
It's a connected.
It's adjacent.
We're
all connected. We're a small industry.
It's a very incestuous industry. After that, August 6th through 7th at the Pasadena Convention Center, it's Scare LA at scarela.com. Elvira is hosting this, and she is looking damn fine, judging from the photos they've been sending for promo.
Yeah, I've been enjoying some of her cameo photos that have been showing up in my haunt-related Facebook groups.
Yes.
That are coming up, you know, her and Alice Cooper, and...
She will always be, like, the queen of haunters for me.
Yeah. And then Mask Fest, September 9th and 11th, through 11th. Marriott Indianapolis East and MaskFest.com.
Is the domain to learn more.
Yep.
Yeah, this one is more geared toward the makeup and the costuming side of it.
Right.
And I know it's coming like at a weird time for a lot of haunted attractions because you're probably right in the ramp up part or kicking off your season.
But if something, you know, happens and you get to those last weeks and you realize, oh, I forgot my biggest mask ever. You can probably find it here.
Yes, trade show floor does exist here. So yes. Very, very cool. Then we have the Legendary Haunt Tour, the 11th through 12th. It's in Pittsburgh. It's done by the people behind Trans World and their lovely series of conferences. But unfortunately, we do not know the hotel right now. It's a lot of TBA right now. Granted, you know, we're talking about this in May and it's a November conference. I guess we can forgive that.
Yeah, maybe we should set a time limit for when we start mentioning these.
Screw it. They set a date. It's in the podcast. Them's rules. But yes, they will be checking out the Scare House and the 100 Acres Manor, not to be confused with 100 Acres Woods. That was Winnie the Pooh, you idiot.
Yes.
Check out more. That joke never gets old. You're damn right it doesn't. At legendaryhaunttour.com. Yeah, all so right. We have a lot of new things. So that's it for the conference and so forth. I'm sure we'll find out more for December shortly.
Yes.
But all in all, busy, busy, busy. If you want to attend all these conferences, you better get cracking.
Yes. Go and get your tickets now.
Yeah, go get tickets now to all of these conferences, all the conventions. Attend them all like Pokemon.
Yes, forget everything else. You just have to do this.
Forget haunting attain conferences.
Yes.
That would be very, very bad for a haunt.
I know.
Well, we have a very, very busy news show this week. Surprisingly active news season this go around.
It actually makes sense, though, because everybody is gearing up more and more right now. Yeah. I mean, we just hit... On the last podcast, the halfway to Halloween.
Yes, the so Halloween.
That, yes, the Halloween. So that kind of jogged everybody into, I should get to work.
Maybe I should actually tear down the stuff that's on the outside of the haunt that I was supposed to tear. That might be an inside thing between us. But anyway,
it was outside. Now it's not.
Good point. But yes, lots of news this week. And one of the first stories this week is actually from Marketplace, the NPR show. And this one really fascinated me because I've been seeing this all over my feeds. People have been talking about this story right now. And the headline just simply reads, Halloween is a $7.5 billion year-round industry.
Which is pretty impressive.
Yes, it's an extremely impressive statistic. Now, the report came from Monsterpalooza, the Pasadena Convention Center. I'm pretty sure we had them in our convention list at one point. Maybe not. I don't remember. But
I don't think so.
Well, honestly. But it's all about, you know, just how much money is going into Halloween right now. And it was very interesting. Mm-hmm. They talked about some of the higher-priced props and some of the other elements that people have bought. And they specifically mentioned, like, $650 werepups, like baby werewolves.
Yeah.
And things
they're
like...
cute.
They're so cute. Yes, they are. I don't know if they're $650 queue to me, but I guess I'm not committed enough,
I'd probably have to go to, you know, a convention and see them in person to make that decision.
Yes, you would, but it's a really, really interesting article and has some numbers in it that I think are fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the numbers I found fascinating was the $300 million industry of simply year-round haunted houses.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, the Ripley's Believe It or Not haunted attractions.
Yes, that one's the first one that leaps to mind because that's the one that we went to recently.
And that's unfortunate.
Yes.
And then, I mean, not because it's a bad haunted attraction, it's just not a great haunted attraction in April.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Long story short, we were not wholly impressed by it, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's not great other seasons. In fact, we were told repeatedly to come back in October.
Right, yeah, it looks like it has potential. I can see potential for it to be great, but with effectively one actor, it's difficult.
It's rough. It's kind of rough. I'm not going to lie to you. Now, one thing I did find interesting was they talked about a haunted attraction that these guys are making, that one group they were interviewing is making, that's $35 a ticket. And on Marketplace, they describe that as a steal, is the exact word.
Right.
Saying that some of these go up to 85.
Well, and I don't know where they're pulling their numbers from, because all the ones around here start at 25, and then, unless you're doing VIP multiple attractions, I don't see how you're getting... Well, I say that, and then I remember that Vault of Souls exists.
Yes, well... I mean, that's just it. We know of more expensive attractions than that.
Right, but that doesn't seem to be the norm from our perspective.
Yeah, it does not seem to be the norm from what we have seen and what we have experienced elsewhere. And I don't know, it did really, really seem kind of pricey. But, you know, that is their... And I'm checking out something real fast on my laptop here while we bide our time. Because, okay, that's what I wanted to see. The combo VIP... box office.
Uh-huh.
I literally did everything I could to make it expensive, right? For the 13th Gate in Acropolis, 13 is 60.
Yeah.
So that's VIP, skip the lines. That's both attractions, Necropolis 13 and 13th Gate, either of which can stand on their own, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's $60.
That seems more normal. It does. If you're in an area where... that isn't normal, where $35 is a steal, let us know what the prices are like where you're at.
Yeah,
because we would love to hear from you.
Yeah, we only have our region to comment on.
Yes.
I should probably mute that.
You probably should.
Yes, I should. By the way, news flash, the House of Shock has already announced its opening September 30th.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to check their page out to see what their ticket prices were like, too, and do the same type of make it as expensive as I can and see what happens. But yeah, that seems to be like the normal range, is that it's, for us, like 60 is about the most I can see paying. But they say 85 is the higher end. So let us know. Yeah, keep us in tune on that one. But yes, this is an interesting review from Marketplace, because Marketplace, like I said, it's a business-oriented show, and it's not for haunters in any way, shape, or form.
Right. It's interesting that they even, you know, paid us attention.
Yes. Especially... at Halloween.
Right.
You know, and that's when this broadcast roughly aired, was at Halloween. So,
yeah.
Very, very interesting. Now, the big story this week, and the one that has been gaining a lot of attention, actually has overlap in my day job.
Yes, it does. You are the resident intellectual property expert.
I wish I were not this week.
Yeah.
Long story short, there's this publisher named Hazy Dreams, which I gotta say is a great name for a video game publisher.
It is.
Top-notch name, A+, the greatest name ever. Absolutely.
I don't know if I'm gonna go with all that.
You don't tell Donald Trump what the greatest name...
He would say it was Donald Trump and not Hazy Dreams.
Fair enough.
But...
fair enough.
I'm not getting into all of that.
Fair enough.
This is not a political show.
No, this is not. I just wanted to get a Donald Trump impersonation at some point. But long and short of it is, they wanted to create a show. Okay, my impressions suck. I get it. I only do two characters and they're both in the haunt. We know this, okay? We don't have to rub it in.
Sorry.
I have like vaguely Irish guy.
Okay. Hazy Dreams.
Hazy Dreams. They wanted to do a game called Haunted House Tycoon, which sounds, to us haunters, flipping awesome. Because if it's anything like Roller Coaster Tycoon, which is what I suspect it's playing on, no one actually describes what the game is, and it kind of irks me a little bit.
Yeah.
But I suspect it's like Roller Coaster Tycoon. In Roller Coaster Tycoon, you build a roller coaster theme park.
Right.
And that is flipping awesome. By the way, Roller Coaster Tycoon, the best game. If you're interested in that, though, there is a new game called Parkitect, which is sort of like the spiritual successor to Roller Coaster Tycoon. And it's a brand new game. It just entered public public beta. So check it out. Really, really cool. It's early access on Steam. Anyways, that's a complete aside.
Yeah.
But the point is, Haunted House Tycoon sounds like it's a game where you build a haunted house and like that. And I really want that. Yeah. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Not only do I want that, can I use it to actually design a haunted house?
If you can, that would be great.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it may be well for you to find out, because apparently Atari is being a bag of dicks.
Yes, that's what I learned from this, too.
Yeah, this is really interesting, because I think we actually mentioned this in our video games episode. Like, we touched on it and moved on very quick. It was like, gotta say this and move on. It was one of those things.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was Atari in 1982 released a game on the Atari 2600 called Haunted House. And it sucked.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it sold like crazy pills and all that jazz. I'm sure it did great. Well, when Hazy Dreams put in an application to trademark the name Haunted House Tycoon and put it out there, Atari objected to it, saying that it was too close to their Haunted House game.
Yeah.
From, Christ, what year are we in? 34 years ago.
Yeah, which you would think that Roller Coaster Tycoon might have more of an issue.
Yeah, you think those guys would have more of an issue.
But no, it was Atari, and they have to have bots or something that are looking for
absolutely. All of the I know some, like, you got like Mark Modern, these companies that do nothing but that for Atari and so forth. So I'm sure they do. They filed a notice of opposition, and now they are going before the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office to contest this. Now, the sad thing in this, and Atari once was a very revered video game company.
Yeah.
Very, very revered. They are apparently now just down to just 10 people, and all they really do is license and protect their assets from days of yore.
Right.
That's it.
That is very sad.
That is like crushed. That's like soul-crushingly sad to me. I say that laughing for some reason. I don't. That's like the complete wrong emotive response, but it's okay.
You get the idea.
But you get it is soul-crushingly sad. Yeah. And now they're headed to Washington, D.C. to make the argument. Now, come on.
Haunted House is a generic term.
I agree completely.
There have been other games that have included the term Haunted House. I don't see an issue here.
I don't either. I mean, this whole thing blows my mind. Because Haunted House as a term has long been a generic.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, it's one of those weird terms, like, in our industry. It's so generic, we almost think of it as an insult.
Yeah.
Because we don't do haunted houses anymore. We do haunted attractions.
Yes.
And that also makes it a better umbrella term to cover, like, haunted hayrides and haunted mazes and other crap.
Haunted experiences.
Exactly. All this other stuff that we're doing that's really, really cool.
Yep.
And, but yes, you are absolutely right. There have been other video games out there, including, I'm learning, a one on the Nintendo Wii just entitled Haunted House.
No. Oh.
Yes, literally, it's entitled Haunted... Oh, wait, that one's by Atari. TIL, they released...
So these 10 people do something else.
Well, they did it... At least they did something in, when the flip was this game released? It looks like it was released in the mid-2000s.
Okay.
So, they might have done... Yeah, and I'm sorry, it was released in 2010. Holy God. They might have done something 6 years ago, but I don't think they're doing it now.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, apparently there is... But you know what I mean? The term haunted house is a very generic term. And it's descriptive.
Yeah.
And this is one of the things that you learn in trademark, is when a mark is merely descriptive, haunted house, saying a house that's haunted... It's pretty much a descriptive mark. It has very weak protection.
Yeah.
And I don't see how this is enforceable when they're coming around doing Haunted House Tycoon that could no way be mistaken for the Atari 2600 game. Or the Nintendo Wii one, apparently.
Yeah. Well, and I mean... Yeah. And it just gets down to a generic term.
It is.
I'm thinking about the Houdat case here.
Yeah.
Because if you can take on the NFL and win...
Yeah, it's very bizarre. And to clarify for those, the New Orleans Saints, the fans have an expression, who dat saying they're going to beat them Saints. And a lot of businesses in this area use who dat.
A lot.
In their name. Who dat seafood, who dat coffee and cafe, who dat this, who dat that. Who dat
There's t-shirts, there's mugs, there's everything you can think of.
It's hoot out all over the place down here.
Yes.
And right before the Saints went to the Super Bowl, or at least not long before, around that time.
Yeah, right around, yeah. 2009-ish. That same year.
2009-ish.
Yeah.
So the New Orleans Saints applied for trademark protection on hoot out.
Yep.
And they got stomped.
Yeah. because the people of the city were able to prove that the term had been around for a really long time.
Yeah, and it predates the Saints completely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, long and short of it is, I don't think Atari has much of a case here, but, you know, this is frustrating because I really want to play this game. This sounds awesome.
Yeah.
You know, why should I just run a haunted house, you know, like 1 month out of the year? Why not, play the game, too? A little like a test lab for me. That sounds cool.
It does. That sounds awesome.
It does. All right. Do you want to move on from
yes,
that?
Yes, we should.
We should. We got a lot to get through.
Yep.
Also, this week, news coming from Disneyland. That's kind of depressing.
Yes. I have not been to Disneyland. You have?
I've been to Disney World, not Disneyland. Okay. Disneyland is the one in California.
Okay.
I've been to Disney World in Florida. But apparently, the Tower of Terror ride, and it's unclear, according to the story, if it's going to be the one in Orlando, too. I would suspect as much, though. I don't think they're going to do just one.
Yeah.
Will be converted from the... it started out life as the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror.
Right.
I think they lost the Twilight Zone moniker, but the ride largely remained the same. And now it's becoming the Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
Right. And... however, I did read that any changes to it aren't going to happen until fall. Till the end of next fall?
Yeah.
If you really love the ride and want to ride it one more time...
Get the hell
before
over...
it changes,
get the
go
hell,
now.
Go now. Well, I mean, apparently, and this is my understanding, is the Disney Parks chairman, Bob Chapek... How the flip do you say his name?
I have no idea.
C-H-A-P-E-K. Chapek. Bob.
Bob. That's how you say his name.
Bob. Is really... outraged or otherwise upset that since they acquired Marvel, that they have not added many Marvel themed rides to various
any,
and so they're ordering a lot of rides to be converted into Marvel themed, and one of the first to go will be the Tower of Terror. Now, the Tower of Terror was one of the best dark rides, in my opinion. It was one of the best horror rides. I have a lot of good memories of Tower of Terror because I mean.
There's a photo of you on it.
There is somewhere flying like a kite because I got the seat in the middle and the seat belt was apparently designed to tighten like for, you know, a normal person, not my skinny ass.
Yeah.
So I'm like a kite being held up by a seat.
Especially your high school's.
Yeah, my super duper skinny high school self. My God, I was.
Yeah.
I was the skeleton in the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
At various intervals. But apparently it's part of a multi-year plan to get more Marvel stuff into Disneyland parks.
And Monsters, Inc. is also going to be
Yeah, the
converted.
Monsters, Inc. ride will go away, as will the old Muppet Vision Theater. And the Muppet Vision Theater was my favorite 4D theater, too. It kind of...
Aw.
I really liked the Muppet Vision Theater. It was a lot of fun. And it's really kind of angering me, because we've already lost Alien Encounters, right?
Yeah, I know.
Alien Encounters, and I want to do like a full thing on that at some point, but Alien Encounters, losing that upset me.
Mm-hmm.
So bad.
Right.
Even though I love Lilo and Stitch, converting it to the Stitch ride was just a terrible idea. Terrible idea. but, so we lost that, and now we're losing the Tower of Terror, too.
Yeah.
It's like, what is going to be the dark ride at Disney World? The Haunted Mansion? Fine, the Haunted Mansion's great and wonderful and all. But
yeah.
It's also not, it's not a thrill ride.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not a haunted thrill ride. It's very cool. The effects are amazing. I love, even as a haunter, trying to figure out how they do stuff in there. It's really cool. But it's not a thrill ride. It's more of a, oh, that's awesome ride.
Yeah.
That's the thrill. And meanwhile, both Tower of Terror and and the Alien Encounters ride were both designed to scare the ever-loving crap out of you.
Right.
And those rides are going... I'm not saying that Tower of Terror, the Guardians of the Galaxy ride, won't be absolutely, you know, thrill ride, but it's not going to be a scary thrill ride. It's going to be something... It's going to be a superhero-themed one.
Yeah.
And it seems like Disney's backing off of that when they went really hardcore. And to me... That means my next Orlando trip, whenever that happens, will be more dominated than by Universal, frankly, because they seem to be adding more and more stuff that caters to people that want to do the types of rides we want to do.
Right.
And that's a real, real pity, because I do so love Disney. I so love their expertise, but man, they're making it hard to love them right now. They're making it hard, man. Oh. Get rid of the Muppet Vision Theater, really?
I know. I would have liked to have seen that.
You know, it included some of my favorite 4D, like I said, it's a 3D theater, like some practical effects in the audience to add to it. That was where I first experienced the simulated rats with air blown across the ankle. It's the first time. I experienced that as a kid way back when.
Yeah.
I thought that was so bloody clever when I was like 12 or whatever.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. It was great. And, you know, my favorite, you know, was like the very intro of it. Kermit comes out and he's like, we are Muppets, we are, you know, very proud of our high-quality entertainment. We promise not to abuse this technology for simple, cheap 3D theatrics. And Fonzie comes out, did you say cheap 3D theatrics? Squirts the whole audience with one of his flour and uses one of those noisemakers that blows out. It's like, yay! Stupid jokes. I'm going to miss it. It's sad that it's gone.
Yeah.
And, speaking of Universal Studios, though.
Yes.
Because that was... I should have just taken the segue when I added, like a dumbass.
Ah, that's okay. You reminisced a little bit.
It's fine. It's all gravy. It's not like this is a time podcast.
Yeah. Not at all.
Not at all. No. No. We have our next attraction for Halloween Horror Nights at Universal.
Right.
Now, we knew about Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yes, that was announced, we did.
I think, last news episode. And now we have...
The Exorcist.
And I am stoked.
Yeah, I've actually heard that it's going to be really cool. You're going to walk into this room, and it's going to be, you know, the voice saying, demons, get out. And then you choose a door, and you go out of it, and you're outside. The exit system.
It's also known as customs in the Netherlands. Because you can't bring anything into that country that they don't already have.
Yeah.
But no, I'm real. See, I think this is so cool because, like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Exorcist, the thing they have in common to me is, okay, yes, I know Leatherface is Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but he's not a Jason, a Freddy, a Pinhead. Right. He's not one of the major, what do you mean?
Well, what it is to me is that they're bringing back the older classic.
Yeah, the classic horror films.
Not the black and white classic horrors, because those are really cool too, but... The classic horror films.
Yeah, they're bringing
before
back the ones
Freddy Jason.
Well, frankly, the ones you and I grew up with, if we think about it.
Yeah.
These were the late 70s, 80s era horror films.
Right.
I remember watching The Exorcist as a kid and scaring the ever-loving crap out of me.
Yeah. I wasn't allowed to watch those.
I know. I was not allowed, but I did anyway.
Yeah.
I was a terrible kid. But no, it is... Yeah, they've already announced, like I said, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Now they're doing The Exorcist, and I'm really stoked for Halloween Horror Nights now.
Yeah.
This is really, really cool, and I'm so loving this trickle information.
Yes.
Because it gives us, like, time each month to figure out what's next. And we should take an opportunity now. What do you think is the next one they're going to announce? Do you have a guess? By the way, this guess is completely non-scientific and in no way fed with insider information or anything else.
Okay. I have to check and see if a movie is universally owned or not, so...
Well, they probably could get the license to it, I'm sure. I mean, I'm trying to think...
Because from that era, I'm thinking... Because in my brain, Poltergeist is in that era.
Yes, I was actually thinking Poltergeist would make sense next.
Yeah.
Because
I just don't know if they have the rights.
Yeah.
But if we're just throwing...
We're just throwing crap out. I don't know if they have the rights either to it.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're searching on your phone. You got a laptop right in front.
Because it's got my notes.
Tabs are a thing.
I know, but I have like 20 of them open.
Anyways, but the point remains, I do think Poltergeist would be a natural one. Though, I have to say, part of me suspects they're going to go for something more modern next.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even something, you know, I don't know, maybe like the Blair Witch might be interesting. I don't know if they could actually do that in a haunted attraction.
I don't know.
I'm entertaining my poltergeist, actually. I think that'd be a really cool one.
Yeah. You can throw your own thing out there. I never saw Blair Witch or didn't have much,
I didn't have much interest in it either, honestly.
But.
Yeah, I think, honestly, poltergeist is the most likely one for the next one. Because it would fit with the pattern.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even if they don't have the license to the film, they can obtain it for a haunted attraction, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, they're a movie studio. This is what they do. They obtain licenses and stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of their bag. You know what I mean?
Right.
All right. Now, this next one is interesting. McCamey Manor is opening up a new haunted a horror experience in New Jersey.
Yes. It's going to be a one night only for June 18th. And it's called Dystopia.
Yes.
And it's going to be in Horton, New Jersey, specifically.
Horton, W-H-A, I think it is?
Yeah.
Wharton, New Jersey. Okay. Yeah. The idea, basically, according to what they're describing, is you and a companion show up. It has to be two people.
Yeah.
Wear secondhand clothes. They're going to destroy them. Wear clothes you don't care about. And if you survive this part, you get to go on to part two. And then if you survive part two, you get to do the 8-hour tour part three thing that they're planning. And it's being done in partnership with the Haunted Scare House in Wharton, New Jersey. And like I said, I think they're playing host to it, basically. Yeah.
Right. Because they would have all of the licenses and everything and the fire codes and all settled. I was actually wondering if they were only doing it for one night because of all of the codes.
Maybe, or just make it something special or whatever.
Yeah.
And you know, it's one of those things where I really, to this day, still do not fully understand McCamey Manor.
Well, and I think that if we were closer to New Jersey, we might try, you know, part one.
Yeah, I honestly...
Just because I think we'd be able to speak on it with more experience and with a better perspective than just guessing from the videos that are online.
Yeah. Well, and what people have said and so forth. It's, it's a very, very interesting... the problem with it is this, is I still, from a business standpoint, don't think I get it.
Yeah.
Much more so than the attraction side.
You know, I was thinking about that, but even people not in the haunt industry have heard of McCamey Manor.
Yes, and the Blackout and other similar attractions.
Yeah. Yes. So, even if I don't get it from a business standpoint, I get it from a marketing one.
Oh, yeah. Marketing standpoint, it all makes sense.
Yeah.
But when you do such small throughput, you know what I mean? That's my thing. Is this is very, very small throughput.
Obviously, that's not what
they're going for,
what he's interested in.
Yeah, and then there is a way to make a business out of that. It just seems to me like it might be a less than ideal.
Yeah.
And now, they're saying that it was banned in New York.
Right.
And I don't see any evidence it was banned in New York. I've heard no mention of that.
No. I did see that you will have to sign a waiver.
Blah, blah, blah.
Obviously. However, you cannot sign a waiver that says you agree to be assaulted.
Yeah.
So, if actual assault is going on, I don't see that being a legal defense for them.
No. And this is something that comes out a lot in, like, the BDSM communities and so forth.
Right.
When they talk about waivers for various activities, you can't sign away your consent to be assaulted, whether physically, sexually, or whatever, mentally or whatever.
Yeah.
There's no way to waive it, because you can grant the consent in the form of a waiver, but you can withdraw it
at any time.
So you say no, and it's over, theoretically. Yeah. Legally, at least, it should be. And, so I don't know. I mean, I don't understand it from a legal perspective. I don't understand it from a business perspective. But there you go. It's June 18th, one night only. You can learn more at hauntedscarehouse.com if you are so inclined. And like, I agree with you. If we were closer to New Jersey, we're on the third coast, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's a bi-coastal enterprise. We're on the third coast here in New Orleans. We have no means of getting there and doing this, but we would at least seriously consider it. I don't know if we would actually do it or not, but we'd be talking about it right now.
Yeah.
Now, on to something that's a little different. The New York Metropolitan Museum of Art has a new installation that should be of interest to us haunty types.
Yes. Well, they have a roof garden, and it's...
Which I did not know.
one of the most popular spots in New York City, apparently, during the summer. And they have recreated the Psycho House, the house from Psycho.
Yes. It's by British artist Cornelia Parker. It's called Transitional Object Psycho... It's got a weird title, bracket Psycho Barn. And it's a replica of the home that was featured in Alfred Hitchcock's 1960 film Psycho.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and Parker's claiming she was inspired not just by Hitchcock's film, but also by the work and artist Edward Hooper, who was known for painting rural landscapes that were punctuated by odd barns and houses and dilapidated buildings and whatnot.
Well, I can actually see that. Being from, you know, well, I can just see it in general. But it helps that I, you know, went to art school. But because I can see, okay, this guy put random barns and stuff in rural places. What if I put one in the middle of the city?
Yeah. It's a good question.
You know, that seems to be where that inspiration came from for his work.
And it's pretty cool, I think. It's a neat idea. Look at the photos. They look really, really, really cool.
Yeah.
I'm, like, silly excited about this. It looks awesome. And it's already open. The article we have, it says it was opening the next day, but the article is, of course, because we do these once a month.
Right.
It's already open, and it will be viewable until October 31st, appropriately enough.
Yes.
Cannot think of a better time. And that's really cool. And I think, to me, the part that's most interesting about it is to see the art world take such a strong interest in horror films, haunted attractions, and so forth.
Well, yes, but, you know, that is my artistic outlet right now.
Yes, I agree.
The haunt is my artistic outlet. I do paintings, I do construction, I build stuff. It's very artistic.
It is, it's very artistic.
I'm just glad that artists, you know, air quotes is around it, real artists, are proper artist or whatever you want to call it, are giving us some attention.
The Metropolitan Museum of Art is about the highest up you can go in terms of galleries in New York.
It's up there.
For a modern gallery, for contemporary...
Yeah.
For modern galleries, for modern art. And so to have them do an installation for a horror film is no small deal, for certain.
No. Well, and, you know, a lot of people study Hitchcock.
Yes.
And
as they should, goddammit.
Oh, yeah. So.
As they flipping should.
Yeah, so I can see them picking this.
Yeah, it's
I'm
pretty...
glad for it, though.
Well, speaking of a New York attraction, though, if you are so interested, you can get your gin and Beetlejuice on.
Yes.
At a new Tim Burton-themed bar.
Yeah. Looks like it's going to be fun. It's going to be in the East Village.
Mm-hmm.
It's entitled Beetle House.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, the long and short of it is they have all the cocktails have various Tim Burton themes. Like they talked about the Showtime, which of course is from Beetlejuice.
Yes, it's Showtime.
Showtime. And then you have Sparky's Minty Margarita based on Frankenweenie, which sounds interesting.
Yes.
And of course, all the other specialty drinks have some kind of Tim Burton theme going on. It looks really, really awesome and very macabre. And they're what you would expect from a Tim Burton theme bar.
Yeah.
Now, this is something that I've always found interesting, because here in New Orleans, our haunted attractions oftentimes do have bars associated with
them. Yes.
But they're not usually themed bars.
No, they're not, and I don't know why.
It's kind of a blown opportunity, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, the House of Shock, I think, has two full-service bars.
Yes.
And though they're decorated very, very cool.
Yeah.
They're not themed.
Right. Right. The drinks aren't themed. The staff is not in costume. You know, so it's just like going to an outdoor bar.
With very, very high prices.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's a missed opportunity. And I don't see why, if you're going to have a bar with your haunted attraction, why you don't just go for gold on this and make it truly themed, make it really awesome, and do something that and have drinks and have decor that really, really fit your theme and what you're trying to do.
Right.
And you know, plus, I don't think in New Orleans it's legal to open up any business without a liquor license in the city. It feels like it sometimes.
Pretty much.
I mean, we got Ellie here talking about opening up a knitting shop / bar.
Yes.
Which I think is a great idea for the record. I'm totally down with the idea.
Yes. If you can get drinks at your malls and your kids' arcades and movies, then you're going to expect to be able to get drinks anywhere.
Yeah, pretty much.
And take drinks in if they don't serve.
But what I didn't realize is that this is apparently a trend of themed bars that are cropping up all over New York, including the Beetle House.
Right.
Which is one that the Beetle House already owns. I mean, sorry, the Beetle House already owns a Will Ferrell themed bar called Stay Classy.
Right.
And a Marie Antoinette inspired speakeasy called Boudoir.
Yeah.
That one
sounds very interesting.
Sounds very interesting. So this is something that they do a lot of, and it seems to be a trend all over New York, too, from what I'm understanding. The more these theme bars are cropping up as a way of competing and standing out.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea.
I do, too. I mean, I think... I wish more haunted attractions did this type of thing, because it's a great way... Because one of the things about haunted attractions is you get people out there, they spend, you know, however much time it is to get there.
Right.
They go through it, and then they leave.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, we will have to have a separate show about alcohol and haunted attractions.
Obviously, yes.
Because
there is one reason I can think of why you don't want.
Yes.
But anyways, now this article I found really, really interesting. It's on the Mouse for Less site, and it's a look at the Sally Corporation.
Yeah.
Which is the most vanilla and boring sounding company name in history.
Yeah.
It's like really, really, really non-descriptive in any way, shape, or form. They're based out of Jacksonville, Florida, and what they do is they create dark rides.
Yes. We've actually ridden on one of these.
Yes, we have.
And we rode on one that was described in the article.
Oh.
The Scooby-Doo one.
Yes, we did. The Scooby-Doo coaster.
Yes.
Yes,
at that time, it was at Carowinds in one of the Carolinas.
Carowinds sits right on the border, so it's both Carolinas. I don't remember which Carolina that specific attraction sat in. One of the two Carolinas, though. It was.
Yeah.
We rode it.
It was fun. It was a little shooty game.
It was kind of cool. And yeah, the thing about Carowinds is there's like 80 billion photos of people standing straddling the North Carolina, South Carolina state.
Yeah.
There's like one bridge that's completely split by it up the middle. It's kind of lame. My dad might have been a little bit lame sometimes. Like, I think I have like six photos of me at various ages doing that.
You should put them all together.
I should sometime. That'd be kind of cool.
Yes. See, but your dad was thinking ahead.
Yeah, maybe he was.
Not lame.
But the Sally Corporation likes to create dark rides, and they offer free tours every Tuesday and Thursday during non-summer months. So time is ticking if you want to go. They're shutting down, I'm sure, pretty soon if they haven't already. But if they have, just catch them in the fall or winter. Maybe it's a good thing for you to do after season.
Right.
Basically, it'd be a great activity for like November, December, I think.
Yeah.
So put that in your to-do list. Do call ahead for space, even though tours are free.
Right.
They do fill up. And apparently they also use the people who go on the free tours to play test some of the attractions and some of the games.
Which sounds fun.
So totally
I want to go.
If ever I find my butt going through Jacksonville, Florida again, which we've been a couple of times through there.
Yeah.
But if next time we're through Jacksonville and it's not summer, because the reason they don't have summer tours is because it's an air-conditioned warehouse, as most warehouses are.
Right.
It is too damn hot for, you know, tours.
Right. And what this kind of reminds me of, actually reading it, is Mardi Gras World.
Yeah.
It's like the Mardi Gras World warehouse for all of the floats, but for haunted attraction rides.
Absolutely. And I've done the tour at Mardi Gras World.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's fine. It's great. It's cool.
Interesting.
If you're in New Orleans and you're into Mardi Gras stuff, do recommend. Totally awesome. But I really want to see one for the dark rides. That just sounds way more awesome.
Well, that's more up our alley.
Yeah, that's way more up our alley. And to wrap it up this week, as we wind down our time, we have a couple of new attractions opening their doors. First, this one intrigued me, a Portuguese haunted house. I have not heard of one in Portugal before.
No.
I'm sure there are some, but I have not heard of them.
Yeah, and I looked at the pictures and read the article, and it looks really interesting.
Yeah.
And what they're what it kind of reminded me of was the Fear game.
Yeah.
The original one where, you know, apparitions would appear and disappear and you wouldn't know what was real and what wasn't.
Yeah, it's being put on by the theater company Reflexo, I'm sure is how you say that.
Yes.
And they're putting it on a mansion, and the mansion whose name I have zero hope of pronouncing remotely correctly. Quinta Nova de Asuncao? I don't have any. Like I said, I have no hope. Mansion in Belas, which is near the town of Centro. But yeah, yes. It looks... I think what you said was actually a pretty good descriptor.
Yeah.
Because they specialize in having people pop in and out, and sort of more atmospheric, if right. you will, than a lot of the jump-startle-focused haunted attractions we have.
Right. More of building up tension and letting your mind do a lot of the work.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing.
No, it looks like a really, really interesting change of pace, and like something that I would be very interested in going to.
Yeah.
To be frank. So, yes, I've never been to Portugal.
No.
Never been anywhere near Portugal, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think the closest we've gotten was the UK.
Yeah.
Which was really, really cool, too, when we got to see a neat haunted attraction there.
Yeah.
But still, if we're in Reverend Portugal, I definitely want to check this out. But more close to home, Escape Block X, another escape room attraction, is opening up near Detroit, Michigan. It is called, it's in Westland, Michigan, and it's the Hush Haunted Thrill Park. It's called Escape Block X. I believe I said that already.
Right, and it's going to be a multi-room, it's a multi-room escape experience.
Yes.
So,
yeah,
you have to escape from lots of different rooms.
Which, that seems to be that's one of the things that's been really, really interesting about the escape room business.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, we've got people that we're trying to bring in to do a full escape room podcast.
Yes.
We've still got to make that happen.
Well, if it doesn't work, and if someone's listening that has an escape room and wants to come on and talk about it, let us know.
We'll make it work, but yes. The thing about it is that these attractions are getting rapidly more complex. They are growing. They're getting bigger and more nuanced.
Right.
And... you know, it's really interesting because it's not often you see an entire industry, like, grow from zero to 100 before your eyes.
Yeah.
And that's what they've done.
Yeah, it's kind of like how fast the technology industry grew.
Yeah. And
that's what it's reminding me of, at least. So I cannot predict where this industry is going to be.
No. It exploded out of nowhere. And then part of me is like, well, is this a fad? Are we going to see these go away? I don't think so.
I don't think so, just because too many people are putting too much money into it.
Well, and I think that may be one of the problems in some ways, that there's so many of these now.
Uh-huh.
I have to wonder about the actual market size, especially when you start factoring replayability. But nonetheless... Escape Block X is opening, and yeah, it looks, from the little images and videos, looks really, really cool too. And it looks, like I said, this whole industry, we're getting more complicated, bigger, better, more awesome attractions. And you know, it's fascinating to me because the haunted attraction industry has grown from the past like 40 years,
right?
And it feels to me like what took the haunted attraction industry 40 years to do, mm-hmm. the escape room industry has done in like 4.
Yeah, but to be fair, a lot of those were built at haunted attractions,
yes.
existing haunted attractions, so they got a leg up.
Yeah, they did.
It wasn't like they were starting from the ground.
Yeah, but it's still an entire new industry, an entire new style of attraction, just zoom, right out of the gate, has grown to incredible heights, and we're seeing board games,
right.
we're seeing, you know, what... an incredible number of these attractions popping up of all kinds of complexity and difficulty. It's so exciting. Like I said, even last time we even talked about it, Disney's getting involved.
Right. No, what I was just thinking was, can you imagine if Eastern State Penn decided to do an escape room?
Guys, if Eastern State Penn is listening to this podcast...
Yes.
This is your calling.
Yes, because you guys already have year-round tours. Just take a piece of it and make it... escape rooms from an actual prison,
God.
And it's golden.
Yes. And yeah, like you said, you've got year-round rooms, and you can even, like, mobster theme it.
Yes. You know what I mean? Exactly.
You're getting out of the clutches, and you don't want to actually use the history of Eastern State Penn. I get that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can tell...
I don't know. You could have a patron, you know, be Capone.
Yeah. Was it Capone that was there?
I thought it was.
Maybe. Yes, it was Al Capone.
Okay.
And also bank robber Willie Sutton was apparently there, too. I did not know that one. Okay. You were right. I was trying to remember if it was Capone or not in my head.
Yeah, he had a really nice cell.
Yeah, his cell was like totally rocking. We visited. We didn't get to visit during their haunt season.
No.
No, that's sad. But no, we did visit during their off season. Yeah. And he has a pretty bitchin' cell, I'm not going to lie. But I could totally crash there. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's... He was living comfortable.
Yeah, but the point remains, you could totally like make it Capone themed. You could totally do something. Yeah, that would be rocking.
And play off the history. Yeah, create some little tunnels and stuff and fake walls that you have to, doorways, hidden doorways. It would be awesome.
Yeah, seriously, guys.
I'm excited about this. Make it happen.
If you were listening to this, this is your sign from on high to heaven. This is God. God is speaking to you.
Oh, great.
I don't do a very good God impression either. We just discussed my terrible impression. And now we have proven it once and for all. Thank you.
Yeah.
I do a good Bernie Baxter impersonation.
Yes, you do.
I do the best.
You do a good Jonathan impersonation, too.
Oh, well, I think that is all we have this week for the news. Thank you, God, right?
Yes.
Well, have any final thoughts, anything else you want to share with these nice peoples?
No.
Well, once again, thank you to Haunt Topic Radio for having us on their esteemed podcast and giving us lowly nobodies a chance to hang out with you guys. It was totally awesome.
Yes.
Really appreciate it.
Hope to have you guys on here soon.
Yeah, got to have you guys on here soon. And thank you to the new listeners who are tuning in and checking us out for the first or the second time or whatever. If you definitely send us messages and tweets. We love hearing from you guys.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think about this episode and previous episodes. And apparently, I should say, feel free to disagree with everything we said in the Maze podcast because...
Well, no.
No, I'm just teasing.
No,
I'm joking. No, but but definitely feel free to disagree with anything we say for that.
Yes. We are open to criticism.
We are open to criticism and we know we are not maze balls in every single way, shape, and form. So feel free to disagree. We do not pretend to be the end all be all.
You're so funny.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad someone said it finally. I've been waiting for 36 years. Well, on that note, everyone, thank you very much for joining us. Once again, we are Haunt Weekly at hauntweekly.com. We are Haunt Weekly on Facebook and Twitter. Soon, coming at you with a brand new site, we hope. Please be patient. New features. Pardon our dust. Pardon our innovation. Blah, 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 blah. How's that? Well, thank you again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly, episode 24, doing the news, the late April, early May news. We will see you guys next week.